Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is taken from St. Luke chapter 14, the parable of the wedding banquet. Parables are always a little tricky to understand. They are meant that way. Jesus used parables to confuse the unbeliever, to mess up their mind, to teach them, among other things, that they really don't get it. They don't know all of the secrets of God. It cannot be known to them unless God gives it to them. But of course, our problem with parables is that that doesn't just apply to unbelievers. Sometimes when we look at parables, it seems as though the answer is obvious. Other times, we leave the parable more confused than when we came in. This is one of those parables. Jesus ends the parable by saying, "For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my banquet." Kind of a tough ending, don't you think? We go into the text from everyone invited to no one eating of the banquet. What kind of a parable is this? Let's crack it open and see what our Lord would teach us about the kingdom of God and about his gospel call. First off, the man in our text, later called the master or the Lord of the house, is giving a great banquet. This is no lunchtime special. This is no drive-through, no fast food. This isn't even mom's great home-cooked meal. This isn't even just a banquet. This is a mega banquet, as the text says. Greek word for great is mega. It is a great banquet. The meal here is something to be remembered. But what is more, the Lord has invited many to his table. This is not a meal. This is the meal. The big one. The one meal you will remember for the rest of your life. So the first question is, why did he invite all of these people? What kind of Lord, in his right mind, invites all and sundry to the mega banquet? The answer, of course, lies in the character of the Lord of the house. His character is one of love, not miserliness. He is rich beyond all measure, and he wants to share those riches with everyone. He wants everyone to be a part of the great feast of salvation, not just the affluent, not just the Jew, not just the Lutherans. He wants everyone there. When I was a kid, I remember being both amazed and annoyed that more than anything else, what my mom wanted was for all of us kids to be together. I don't think she even really cared what we did, which is good because it was kind of a lot of fighting, frankly. Truth be told, it was a hassle. Yet there was something, even in that little meal, that family meal, which defines being a family. It establishes that we're all a family, that we're all here together. We share in a common ancestry, and that we will always be related to one another. It's kind of what's going through our Lord's mind as he invites all to this mega banquet. He's showing his hospitality to his neighbors, to his friends, to his enemies, to everyone. He's saying, "I am reconciled with all of you. You are all free to come and eat at my table." But guess what? The time of the banquet actually comes to pass, and those who had been invited, the many, begin to make excuse. Remember, they've been invited. They've already accepted the invitation. So now it's time for the actual banquet. It's evening time, the end of the day. The first one says, I just bought a field and I have to go examine it. Hard to do in the dark. The second just bought a yoke of 5 oxen and he has to go out and take them on a test drive to see how they handle in night farming. The third is recently married, cannot bear to bring his new bride out to a fancy meal. Now, in case you missed it, Jesus is talking about 2 different meals here. He's talking, first of all, about the heavenly banquet of salvation, the eternal meal in which God wants everyone to partake. He wants everyone to enjoy the fruits of his labors. But secondly, and just as important, he speaks here of that great meal that we partake of every week in the divine service. Here, week after week, God bids us to dine with him at his table. But our excuses for neglecting his table are as lame as the excuses in our text. The reality is that even though God invites us to his heavenly banquet, very often we don't want to be here. I don't like the company. The food isn't what I want. It's too early for this big of a banquet. It's too late. My day's already half gone. I don't have the right clothes. Whatever the excuse may be. So God in his mercy invites even more. He calls them from the highways and byways, the sick, the lame, the ones who don't belong, the imprisoned, the troubled, those in great need. He calls them all without prejudice or favoritism. He calls them not because they are worthy or have done something to merit his favor. He calls them because he can. Remember, he is the Lord of the banquet. This is his table, and he wants it full. He wants the whole family there. He calls them because that is who he is. On the last day, dearly beloved, the table will be full. Everyone will that God has called will be there, who has not rejected his offer. So come to the table. Come and taste of that great eternal banquet, which says God loves you, God desires you to be in his presence forever and ever, God forgives you all your sins, God wants you in his kingdom, God wants you here, now, at his table. Believe it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.